This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today we are joined by Kevin Thompson again of Open Look. Kevin joined us in a previous episode discussing more about his personal journey and thoughts on the media sector. Today we're doing a bit of a deep dive into Open Look, which is a publishing niche publishing company for niche sectors, predominantly US facing, and they effectively have all of their back-end operations here. It's a really interesting conversation. Even if you're not really into sort of print media or that sector, there's a huge amount you can learn here in terms of a specialized outsourcing opportunity and how that can be engineered from a country, you know, across the other side of the world. So really interesting conversation. I enjoyed my time with Kevin. If you want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/127. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, we're lucky to be joined by Kevin Thompson again of Open Look. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Derek. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And Open Look is a, I'll let Kevin explain this, but it's a niche content publisher, basically. So, Kevin, you have been in the Philippines now for about 8 years. You're down in Cebu, which is the, I suppose, the second city of the Philippines, and you've seen a lot of changes. But can you just introduce yourself and you know, how you found yourself in Cebu?
Yeah, definitely. I'm originally from Southern California in the U.S. and have moved out here. I was moved out here in 2010 to be permanently stationed. It was supposed to be 1 year. And 8 years later, I'm still here. What brought me out here was working with a company that wanted to establish an office and sent me out here to help build the team. And then I've kind of taken that and we created Open Look. About almost 6 years ago, back in 2012, we decided to form Open Look. So kind of changed the plans and kept me here a little longer.
Yeah, fantastic. And just to sort of reframe that, I suppose, the group that you first came over with, that was a captive where they were doing it for their own requirements, but then you saw the potential in effectively offering it as an outsourced service to other clients directly?
That is correct, yes. We were strictly offshore model back then when I was working with the previous company, just providing the services internally, basically. Right. So we saw that opportunity and branched off on our own.
Fantastic. And Open Look now has been going since 2012, did you say?
That's correct. Yeah, we started April of 2012.
Wow. And there's three of you, three partners. You're from the US. Can I ask, what is your client base like? Are you typically focusing just on the US, or do you find that you are a kind of truly international service offering now?
We have done some international work, but our main focus currently right now is US-based, US and Canadian.
Right. Good. And what is the essence of your product then? How does it differ from, I suppose, like a content agency or a design agency?
We're kind of all three in one, I guess. So one of our uniqueness is we really cater to the publishing world, the magazine world specifically, and kind of the three functions that make up Open Look would be what we refer to as audience development work and traditionally kind of referred to as telemarketing. A lot in the circulation work. We're doing a lot of subscription renewals. And then the second major function would be graphic design, where we're doing complete magazine design and layout for both printed and digital copies. And then the third element would be data research. So we're doing, I kind of try and say it's kind of the step before or after automation. So we'll take lists and really review them and kind of make sense of them or find some missing pieces that are overlooked by some software out there and capture specific data points, whether it be contact information or demographic information, things of that sort. So those are kind of the three main functions that we cater to.
Right. So just deep diving into that a little bit further, effectively, your product is a content publishing, almost magazine publishing, to make it super simple. But you then do far more in terms of you actually create a user base. So you're actually reaching out to people. You're kind of following it up with the revenue side of the model as well.
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, we can, our product pretty much is manpower, right? That's what we're offering, but the services cover on a broad scale pretty much any function that's required to put a magazine together from start to finish. We offer the one thing that we don't do a lot of is content generation in terms of actually writing articles. But myself and my two business partners, we all come from the traditional publishing world, so we're very familiar with the different, elements that it take to put a magazine together. So that's kind of how we've structured the company in a way that really caters to the three, to those three areas.
Fascinating. And the common sort of business case then is that it's you're producing like industry periodicals, like a kind of monthly publication that you would get industry players to sign up for a subscription. Is that the kind of typical business model?
That is correct. Yeah, we kind of, we kind of just kind of landed in that industry where a lot of our clientele is coming from that business to business background. So, in these cases, the subscribers have to qualify to receive it, and it's a qualification basically by profession. So, you need to be, a specific job title or job function or company function. So, we're required to call these folks and confirm that and get their opt-in to receive the publication.
Right. And are many of them, I'm sort of fascinated by this whole sector, but are many of them, are they paid publications, or a lot of this, or is a lot of this free media or media with advertising funding?
We do both, but there's a very big market for the free publications. And the way they do that is they audit their, not to get too in depth, but these publications will hire an auditing firm to basically come in and confirm their readership, their circulation. And in order to do that, you need somebody like us that's going to, or one of the ways you do that, I should say, is to get a company like us that's actually able to physically call these folks and get their opt-in. And then at the same time, we're capturing some demographic information related to their business that can, I mean, vary quite, substantially depending on the information the publisher is looking for.
Fantastic. And is that a common business model to kind of like wrap the publishing function with the customer outreach, customer development, that side of things? Or is that something that you have evolved into because, as you said, you're in the kind of the human resource kind of game, I suppose.
Right. So you're seeing it go that way. I mean, what our value is, I mean, we're working with publishers that have circulation of in the tens of thousands, 50, 60, 70,000. So it requires really high call volume, So, and the more you can, from the publisher's aspect, the more you can define their audience and capture this data and make sure these people genuinely do want to receive it, it just increases the value of their product.
Wow.
So, but it requires a lot of people to make those phone calls. So it works
Yeah.
for
That
us.
must be intense, huh? And what is your call rate? Because I suppose it's an interesting kind of function because you're not really selling on the call, are you? You're actually just kind of connecting with the user base.
Correct. Yeah, it's not for new employees and such. We really position the type of work as it's not a cold call. In many cases, these folks that we're calling on are very familiar with the publication, or at the very least, it's very relatable to their profession. So there's that aspect of it, and then the secondary, it's very survey-like. We have typically 3 to 5 questions that we're asking them specific to their business. Non-intrusive, it's very, high level type of question. So, it's a very easy call in the sense of comparing it to some of the traditional telemarketing where it's really hard selling and you're having to capture, credit card information and things of that sort. We're blessed we don't have to deal too much with that except for on the paid side of things.
Yeah. How many call agents do you have? Are you able to give Give us
we're at about 250 total employees, and about 70%, 60 to 70%, I would say, are in our telemarketing department. It's our biggest department.
Yeah, it's huge. And for all the entrepreneurs out there, is there an opportunity? Do you actually, can you, for all the people that have a, you know, very viable and successful business model, but no magazine and no mailing list necessarily, do you offer the service of effectively creating that and creating the mailing list so you can take it from scratch? Yeah.
We can, yeah. We've done that a few times and have helped people kind of develop their audience of who they want to go out to. Incredible. So we definitely can work with that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating model, huh? And then, so of course, we're just bringing this back to outsourcing. Could you see the model ever reversing and you moving back to the States and having your 250 staff based there doing the same functions? How do you compare the sort of pros and cons of you doing it in Cebu versus the US?
It's definitely something that's I can't say it's necessarily in the business plan as of right now, but it's definitely something that's been discussed. And there's a lot of value that comes with it because not everybody's comfortable with this offshore model. And, you know, we respect that. So in order to have the onshore, workforce is definitely valuable in it. And it adds another element of uniqueness. And then of course the benefit of the offshore model, I mean, it really kind of boils down to the biggest thing of being priced, right? It's more cost effective with this model. The beauty of the Philippines is you don't sacrifice much. You know, the cultural differences are not what many people would expect just simply being in a foreign country.
Mm.
So not much drop off.
Fantastic. Huh? It really is incredible. And the sort of comparable salaries must be significantly different, you know, to what you'd end up paying in California.
Correct. Yes, you know, and so our kind of competitor on from an onshore model would be the freelance model, which can work definitely, you know, and that's kind of one of our things is we never want to kind of force a client into a particular way to get the job done, you know, but one of the differences between a freelance model and our type of model is, you know, in an outsourcing model, the employees are your employees and they come to the office 5 days a week, just like you would. You know, in a traditional setting where freelancers, in many cases, they're working multiple projects, so on and so forth. So, you know, there's definitely pros and cons to both models. And, you know, just I think people just weigh it, whatever works best for them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's a fascinating model, yeah. And is it common within your sector to have both of the sort of publishing function but also then the client development function?
Yes, we do. You do see some clients that cross over and they'll start working with us under one function and then add in some of the other functions that we offer. That's
fantastic.
That's kind of our goal. Yeah.
And, can you give people if people are interested, again, with viable businesses out there, how does it generally work? What is the engagement like? And then also, can you give an indication on prices?
It's really tough because of the services and the needs differ so much. And kind of one of our things that because we've seen this as an industry of opportunity and unserviced, you know, we really want to try and make it work. Our mission kind of as a company is creating opportunities. So we love the idea of being able to work with people that may not have other options. So we're flexible when it comes to that. In order to get started, you know, one of my partners, Mike, he kind of focuses on the open look client development aspect. So typically the process starts with him and we kind of review needs and things of that sort and see what kind of solutions we can bring for them. And of course we have a cost that we need to cover and everything like that. From a design standpoint, our prices range, I would say, from $20 US to 30 plus, depending on the complexity of the job. Mm-hmm. From a telemarketing standpoint, you're ranging it can really vary. We like to price out per record. That's kind of effective for us. And what that means is basically we only charge the client for successful calls, meaning if we are able to capture the information they want us to. And you see a pretty wide spectrum there as well of anywhere from about $1 US to $4 or $5, again, depending on the complexity.
Yeah, yeah. That's incredible value, isn't it? Because I've done a little bit of telemarketing in the past, and it's actually, it's just difficult to get in touch with people, isn't it? It's difficult for people to pick up the phone. It's difficult to get past gatekeepers. And if you're actually just getting paid for the result, it's that's incredible value, isn't it?
Yeah, it's and it is challenging. It definitely, you know, the game is changing. We're having to evolve a little bit with it, you know. But our, again, having such niches that we work in and really targeted people helps, you know, kind of combat some of those things right off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, one final question. But I mean, a lot of people come out here scratching their own itch, and as you did with the original company. But do you also produce your own publications, or do you just find that it's sort of cleaner and simpler to just be an agency for other businesses?
It's interesting. We have produced some of our own, some kind of special issue things over the years. We've produced our own. A partner of mine does produce some magazines in the US as well that you know, uses our services for. We are kicking around the idea. We see some opportunities out there to actually create a new magazine right now. So we definitely are thinking about it. It's something I would love to get into. I think it just further justifies the business model when you're not only producing it for other people, but producing it and using your own services for yourself as well. And you know, again, we see some audiences that I think we can cater to as well with some pretty valuable content and information. So something we're definitely giving a really hard look at and hoping to get off the ground here in the coming year.
Yeah, it's fascinating because it's just also so on trend as well, isn't it? The whole kind of monthly subscription, the kind of the drip feed of things, it just seems to be so on trend at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, the subscription model makes sense from a revenue standpoint, no doubt.
Fantastic. Okay, incredible. Thank you for your insight, Kevin. And if people want to get in touch and want to know any more about you or OpenLook, how can they do that?
Definitely. You can always check out our website at open-look.com or directly with me. You can email me at Kevin, my first name, at open-look.com.
Fantastic. And of course, all of that will be in the show notes. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Derek. I appreciate it.
Okay, that was Kevin Thompson of OpenLook. If you want to get in touch with Kevin or find anything, then go to our show notes. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/127. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just reach out to us on email. That is at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.